Panoni Associates, located outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the application for Mr. Francis C. Warrington III. And with me tonight is Mr. Warrington, as well as Mr. Keith Walpole, who is working with Mr. Warrington on this project. As introduced, this is an application for rezoning of AR1 agricultural lands located within an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone to MR, medium density residential district, along with a conditional use for 22 multifamily dwelling structures, subject to the provisions of Articles 4 through 20, Section 115-219, and Table 2 of Chapter 115 of the Zoning Code. This property is approximately 5.59 acres in size. It's located in the Lewis and Rehoboth 100, and it's located on the east side of Old Landing Road, but it's down near the end of Old Landing Road.
Going ahead of you?
Getting ahead of you?
Yeah, it's got a little minor, it's kind of minor return. Let me just go back to the. Sure it is. The property has been owned by Mr. Warrington since September 1997, where he received it from his family estate. The Warrington family has owned this land and at one time the surrounding lands since like the late 1800s. The area is historically known as Warrington Neck. The property is bordered on the north by Sawgrass subdivision, formerly known as the Warrington Creek, which is zoned MR-RPC. On the south side is the Rehoboth Bay Mobile Home Park. I believe it's a non-conforming AR1 zone mobile home park. And it's on the west side is Old Landing Road, as well as there is a vacant parcel in front of this property. All of these lands that I just mentioned was owned by the Warrington family at one time. The property is currently being used and has been used in the past by the Warrington family for their business and farming uses of various properties in the area. So they have construction and they've used it for storage. They're using it for storage and such. The purpose of the MR medium residential district is to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are expected to become generally urban in character and where sanitary sewers and public water supplies are available at time of construction together and are normally compatible with the residential surroundings.
Ms. Cornwall, did you
Anyway, we're adjacent to the MR district, which is an MR-RPC. The section of pretty much this entire area.
Do you want the zoning map? Yeah, okay.
If you look, you can see the yellow there. That's all the MR zoning district in the area here. So the request for the application to be rezoned to MR is in keeping with this within the majority of this area along Old Landing Road here. The project is in character with the nature of the area in that it provides for the retention of the residential character, as I just stated. A little bit about the site, and again, all these exhibits are in the booklet here. We are proposing 22 single-family attached units. These are, and I'm hoping I can address some of the concerns from the letters that came in from the adjacent neighbors. These are single-family attached units. They're 40-foot wide units. I did provide an architectural rendering of what Mr. Warrington is proposing these units to look like. They're two-story units, two-car garages. Going back to the site plan here. The access to the property is from a 50-foot
this, from a 50, there's a 50-foot swath of land here that comes back and then it opens up into the site here. So if you look at the actual property line around here, so in that 50 feet there is the access into the property. The units will be placed back off the road, so in the back here. We are providing curb and gutter and sidewalks along every one of the units that will be part of the project. We are proposing a pool and a pool house as part of the amenity package for the project. I did provide under tab one there, I did provide a waiver letter, a partial waiver letter of the 20-foot landscape buffer. I go back to the color rendering here. As I said, as you come into the property here for about the first 400 plus feet, it's only 50 feet wide. The access aisle going into that property needs to be 24 feet to meet the minimum code requirements under Chapter 115, as well as the minimum fire marshal requirements for primary access for fire lane. When you add in the curb and gutter for the roll curb, that's 2 more feet on each side, then you got the sidewalk, it leaves very little room to be able to provide this 20-foot buffer. So my waiver letter is asking that the 20-foot forested landscape buffer, as you see on this rendering here, follow this part of the property here. This part back here is approximately 0.27 acres of wetlands. It's already wooded. It's going to be remained untouched. But this is the area right in here is where we're asking for you to consider us waiving the 20-foot buffer. There will be some kind of landscaping along the area. I just can't meet the requirement of the planning requirement for the 20-foot landscape buffer. As well as one of the other things that we're providing as part of the project, of course, per DLDOT's requirements, we are dedicating some road frontage to extend the right-of-way along Old Landing Road, and then there will be a small shared-use path that will connect to the shared-use path that's already that has already been installed as part of the Sawgrass project. So there will be a continuous shared-use path connection. As I stated, the character and the intensity of the surrounding neighborhoods, and I did provide under task three, I did provide an area housing development. You can see all the developing areas and all the developments in this area. But just, I picked out a few that are adjacent to this property here. And our proposed development, again, is 22 units on 5.59 acres. We do have 0.27 acres of non-tidal wetlands. We are at a density of 3.93 units per acre. And we do have 65% of open space. Sawgrass next door is approximately 282 units on 142 and a half acres. They have 93 acres of wetlands, 30 of that is state wetlands. Under the RPC requirements, you take out the state wetlands, you need to take out the roads. They're approximately at about 3.68 units per acre, and they have about 62% open space. And then with the Rehoboth Bay Mobile Home Park, there's 474 units within that mobile home park on 148 acres, 60 acres of state titled wetlands. There are approximately, if you, and again, it's an older subdivision. I did the math. It's approximately about 3.2 units the acre. But if you look at the state wetlands and what is usable, they're at about 5.38 acres. And then there's Port Delmarva, which is connected right to the Rehoboth Bay Mobile Home Park. They're at 144 units on 14 and a half acres with a density of 9.87. So we feel like we're keeping in within that MR, that medium density residential. We're just under the 4 units per acre, and, which is in keeping with some of the other densities in the area.
What was the number you had for yours again?
3.93.
Okay.
In the 2008 comp plan, the development is within the growth area and is, you know, is currently characterized as the environmentally sensitive developing area. And in the future comp plan, it's characterized as the coastal area. Both areas support the applicable zoning of MR and the conditional use, having single family attached housing of up to 4 units per acre, which is consistent with the land uses and intensities provided within the future land use plan. The environmentally sensitive developing area is an area that can accommodate development, provided special environmental concerns that are addressed, and a range of housing types that are spelled out in the comprehensive plan are single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. And again, we're doing this multifamily, we're proposing this multifamily project to address some of the concerns of the environmental sensitive area. The portion of this property is in a flood zone AE with elevations of 5 and 6. I show the existing contours that I show on the site plan. We range from elevations 4 to 8. So meeting the flood zone requirements in that particular area of 5 and 6 will not be a problem with this type of housing. And the rest of the property is in a zone X, which is outside the 500-year floodplain. Again, I stated that the property has approximately 0.27 acres of non-tidal wetlands. We are staying approximately 35 feet away from the wetlands with the housing and any improvements to the site. The property is not in a groundwater management protection zone. We are in we are located in the Herring Creek Rehoboth Bay watershed. The project will utilize infiltration as its primary source to handle stormwater. I do show a proposed stormwater management pond. We did do some soil borings in the area. We got about 48 inches to 50 inches to the seasonal high water table. It will not be a wet pond. It'll most likely be an infiltration dry pond. It will be landscaped to be able to absorb the water. But that will be our primary source of handling the stormwater on the site. With the exception of the tidal wetlands that surround, that are on the adjacent properties and the other properties, there are no known major preserved lands in the area. And we did a study of the site, and there are no historical natural features on the property. Sussex County Engineering submitted their facilities report for the sanitary sewer. This property has been allocated for 4 EDUs per acre, which is 22.36 EDUs for the property. The project will be expected to pay to extend the sanitary sewer throughout the property to serve the 22 units, as well as pay the county in exchange for permission to connect up to the 22 additional equivalent dwelling units to the county's existing system and to utilize the existing capacity in the said system. Some of the fees that the project will have to endure would be that the county has the, I think under Chapter 110, they have this, what they call the new catch-up fee, where we pay for a portion of the infrastructure that has already been in place, so that when we come in with 22 EDUs, this project would be expected to pay part of that catch-up fee for the existing infrastructure. Approximately on other projects in the area that I've been working on, that the fee for this project would be about $13,200, and then the EDU, the impact fee for this would be expected at $139,920 is what would have to be paid as a part of being able to provide sanitary sewer on this property. Tidewater Utilities will provide the both domestic and fire protection within the project. That will have to be extended. That water line is on the other side of Old Landing Road, so that would be extended into the property for both fire protection and for domestic use. No traffic impact study was required for the proposed project. Per the 2016 Delaware Vehicle Volume Summary, the annual average daily traffic volumes on an average day along Old Landing Road are from 7,600 to 9,900 vehicles per day. This project will generate approximately 63 vehicles per day. And I did submit for the record how we calculate the actual ADT, the vehicles for the project. This is what DelDOT uses. It's out of the ITE manual, which is the Institute for Transportation Engineers. You can see that 22 units is approximately 126 trip ends, and which equates to about 63 vehicles per day, which is less than 1% of the volume that is currently on Old Landing Road. I did submit for the record some of the some conditions of approval. basically the maximum number dwelling units not to exceed 22. The proposed single-family attached dwellings will be in kind or exceed the architectural style and size of the, some of the surrounding newer homes that have been built in this area. I'm hoping that addresses one of the concerns that the on one of the letters that have come in. The other, one of the other concerns was is that the 20-foot landscape setback shown on the plot plan be in addition to the sawgrass landscape. Sawgrass along our border of the property here. They do have a stormwater management pond located here, and they do have some plantings running right along the property line. Our 20-foot landscape buffer is in addition to that, so there will be extra added protection. When our units start back in this area here, and we're approximately 160 or 180 feet from their back door. So I feel like we have an adequate enough buffer between our housing and the sawgrass. I think that should, I'm hoping that will satisfy the concerns that was raised by the neighbor in sawgrass. And with that, the proposed rezoning to MR and the conditional use meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, meeting the purpose of this district and the comprehensive plan by providing sufficient space in an appropriate location, which is essential and desirable for the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And with that, with the exhibit booklet that I have submitted for the record, and with and the site plan, that is my presentation.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here on the commission that has a question or two for you. And we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I do have a couple questions. In the rear of the property, the building number 13 that you have identified, what's the distance from that corner of that to where the wetlands are?
It's approximately 35 feet.
35, okay. And then on the parking, it's two double, did you say double garage?
Yes, we are providing a two-car garage, and then there's two parking spaces in front of the
garage. In addition to the
two. And what I did was is I laid out the units in such a manner that when you park the car, you won't be blocking the sidewalk either. So we push the units a little bit further back away from the street so that when the cars are parked in the driveway, that there will be free access throughout the sidewalks. And then I have provided additional parking throughout, one in front of the pool and pool house, and some additional parking in the back.
In the back, by the open space. Okay. I like the rendering that you did of the buildings, too. I think that would be a nice change in that area, I'm sure.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
So the parking is it one car parking? Yeah, I'm sure you told us this. I probably wasn't listening. Is it one or two cars that are going to park in each parking spot?
It's two cars to park in the driveway. The driveway is wide enough to be able to park the two cars.
And a garage?
And in the garage.
It's two in the garage as well?
Yes, two cars.
So if they have to, they can put four in that area. Is that to back them out to get the car out of the garage?
That's correct.
Now, on the EDUs, 22 EDUs, what about the pool and the pool house? Does that not count, or do you?
It doesn't, because typically what happens is when you, if what they're figuring is if the residents are using the pool, they're not using their house.
Okay.
So the EDUs kind of just transfer back and forth.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Zoe Stevenson.
I wanted to ask you about the parking. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I have one question, and it's one that I should have done in my homework, so I apologize. In the flood zone, what's an AE and a VE difference? You said the FEMA floodplain map, that part of it is AE and part of it's VE?
No. Part of it is AE with an elevations of 5 and 6, which means our first floor and anything mechanical, all the utilities for the house have to be above elevations 5 and 6. Okay. Within that area. The other zone is Zone X, so it's an area that's outside the floodplain.
Okay, and what is VE?
There's no VE on here, but that would be a zone that has velocity and wave action. That's more up next to the tidal waters.
Okay, because the colors messed me up on your map.
Oh, okay.
So it looked like half of it was VE. Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. Staff, any questions? Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
No, thank you.
Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right, then, Mr. Davidson, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1865, Francis C. Warrington III, or conditional use number 2151, Francis C. Warrington III? In favor. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Either one.
Good evening. Good evening, thank you. My name is Nola Joyce, and I live in Sawgrass. Mm-hmm. I'm not in opposition, but I do have a request.
Okay.
And I wonder if you could possibly pull up the PowerPoint that shows the property being developed in the Sawgrass boundaries?
Being developed in the Sawgrass?
Like this
aerial, the aerial photo, is that what you're looking for?
Yes, okay. I think that might work. Yes, that's perfect. We live in the third house from Old Landing. So if you can identify where that might... I'm sorry?
On the cul-de-sac there?
Yes, right there. You have it.
Okay.
So as you can see, there is no boundary, landscaping boundary or anything else, between our backyard and that piece of property. So we really would encourage the commission not to grant the waiver for that road, but to enforce the ordinance and also to require continued landscape along that road for our sake.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I just had a question as well.
And your name is?
Wendy Ellis. And okay. I live at the house on Kiowa where it turns. So I'm right up near.
Watch the cursor and tell and see it?
Yeah, that's where I am.
Is that it? That you?
That's where I am.
You're right.
So, okay, I have a question. If you could just put up the photo of what the units are going to look like.
Okay.
My neighbor is the one who wrote the letter. And I was going to try and get him a picture of that. Because he's out of town in warm weather. I'm guessing the houses, if we go back to the map, I'm not exactly sure where on this site plan the house placements are going to be in relationship.
So
I guess, do you understand what I'm asking?
So here's the stormwater management pond for Sawgrass.
That we already have, yes.
Yeah, your house is off the map.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the houses.
Okay. All right. And are any of those woodlands, those trees up there, are any of those going to be cut to make room for this neighborhood?
Well,
or is that gonna, there's a... At the end of the pond, there's an evergreen.
No, that's on
your property.
Property, so that
that's on Sawgrass's property.
Okay, and we do need you to go back to the microphone just so it gets picked up. Thanks. That's right.
Those are the questions I had.
Okay.
Can you kind of see the trees right here?
Yeah, and I do have a concern whenever you build on land and you replace land with any kind of pavement or building, the water from the rains have fewer places to go. So my concern is because we already get plenty of rain and plenty of flooding. When it rains, I'm just concerned about where the water's going to go from there.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. You're next.
Hi, I'm Mary Backstrom. If you could put the aerial view back.
You're going to have to give me a minute.
So Nola was up here a moment ago. She's third from Old Landing. Mm-hmm. We're fourth. And
okay.
So I would echo...
She has it up now, too.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're fourth on Old Landing. I think a couple of things. I would echo her, the consideration to not... No waiver for the road, keep the ordinance as it is. The other thing is the pond here, where we are, I think where Wendy lives, it's right, but where we are, most times you could almost consider it a ditch. There's not a lot of water there. So I do have a concern about runoff, and I have a concern about, you know, there's not a, it's not as much, as much of a natural buffer as the top part of the pond. So I just hope that's taken into consideration. The other thing, I just have a couple quick questions. The other thing is, when the traffic study was done in 2016, did that factor in the planned construction, residential construction on the golf course? Because that's going to be considerably bigger. I realize there's not a lot of cars with this particular one. That is planned to be a much bigger residential build, and it's, it, I have a feeling it's going to have another impact on Old Landing. So in terms of waiving the traffic study, as is, I totally get it. But I'm just not clear on whether that factors in what's going to be done with the golf course in the near future.
Okay.
And I guess the other question I have, and I think it's similar to what we've heard. I know, and I was only a part-time resident when you had hearings on these, but I remember, because I went on your internet site and I listened, about there were concerns about flooding, not in our area, but in the, well, you go into the fourth gate for Old Landing, and when the golf course is built, they talk about potential flooding issues.
Right.
That's not, that was not my issue with that development. But with this development, I guess I would ask, again, when you start constructing, there's more pavement, there's less this and that, is there a flooding impact? And I'd be interested in learning more about that. And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to find out about the traffic from
yesterday? Yeah, sure. We'll ask the applicant to respond to that. About the traffic?
That traffic, that's existing traffic as of 2016. So I don't think it doesn't take into account future developments. It's just what DelDOT has on their records for existing traffic on that particular
road. Okay. And while you're there, since you, I know you deal with this on a regular basis, do you want to explain how stormwater management works in Sussex County?
Sure. I can tell you the type of design that we're looking at doing here, and way I'll go back and then come back to this. The reason we placed the pond up away from the wetlands is we're gonna look at storm water quality. Water quality is one of the biggest issues when it came to developing the new stormwater regs, which are currently getting ready to be adopted again. So we're gonna try to bring all the stormwater to what we're going to call an infiltration basin, and then if there's any overflow or anything, and when I said it was going to be the primary source, it was going to be infiltration, there will be some that will end up probably going back towards the wetland area in the future, and it's all part of being able to trickle down a vegetated swale, possibly. We're going to look at different measures to be able to do that. I can share with you that if you look at the site as it is today, that's the imperviousness of that site as it is today. And if you look at what we're going to be doing is we're going to be tightening out, we're going to be removing a lot of that impervious surface. We're putting in a 24-foot drive aisle and some parking spaces, some housing, but it's not, it's going to be opened up, right? We're proposing about 63% open space. That right now is not 63%, that's probably more around the 85 to 90%. Of impervious surface, so you're only talking about 10 or 15% of open space as it sits currently. So what we're proposing will probably be a better way of managing the stormwater. Currently, the site has no management for stormwater, just there, it didn't need it. It's, you know, it predates all the stormwater regulations. So we will be following the new state regulations for stormwater.
Okay, thank you. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Ruby, and I'm a resident of Sawgrass South.
Okay.
I had a question. You commented.
Sir, you need to ask me, and then I'll.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'll ask you.
Then I'll get the answer for you.
I had a question regarding the traffic study, the volume of vehicles expressed as a percent of those on Old Landing Road. My question is that exclude or include the area from Route 1 to Warrington Road?
Okay. Well, anything else?
When you record your land.
Sir, I'm going to ask you again. You need to face and talk to me. This is just the rules. I'm sorry. But you got to talk to me. And if I want to hear from him, I'll ask him, okay?
Thank you. The majority of the traffic right now is from Route 1 to Warrington Road.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't really affect that area south. So I was concerned or questioned the percent that he said his subdivision will add to Old Landing traffic. I want to know if that includes that area, that volume of traffic from Route 1 to Warrington Road. Then I had
okay.
One more, I guess, kind of answered it.
Okay.
I understand that the stormwater management ponds, as per the Conservation District, handle 1 inch of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, where does it go?
Well, the stormwater ponds are designed individually for each site.
Right.
Based on the impervious area.
Right.
There are two ways to get rid of stormwater. It can either perk into the ground, okay, or it can go to an outfall. An outfall would be a tax ditch, a stream, or some other way, conveyance away from the site. And I will ask the applicant to tell us what they intend to do.
That's okay. The only comments and questions I had.
All righty. Well, let me see if I can get some answers
thank
for you.
You.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Davidson, you heard what the gentleman was asking about traffic and the stormwater. If you could briefly address those two items.
In the in my booklet under tab 2, this report was submitted as part of the record. It came from DelDOT. Right. Basically, the 2016 Delaware vehicle volume summary was taken, and that 7,600 to 9,900 vehicles per day was taken where the subject land is located, which is from Warrington Road to the end of the road, so to the end of Old Landing Road. So it didn't take into account, that doesn't take into account from Route 1 to Warrington Road. It goes
right
from Warrington Road to the end. So
right.
That
okay.
was the number.
Okay.
And then the stormwater, we have to manage up to the 100-year storm event. So not just the 1 inch,
right?
Which is that was under the old stormwater regs, anyway. But we do manage up to the 100-year storm event.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Okay. Who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Lee Matrasia, Sawgrass South. It's more of a request than a question.
Okay.
You guys are the guardians of Sussex County. I know DelDOT did a survey in 2016.
Right.
There's 1,000 more homes going on Old Landing Road within the next 5 to 6 years. DelDOT needs to do a future plan, not a past plan. We need to know where we're going. That road cannot support that kind of traffic. 22 homes aren't going to make a difference, but 200 across the street, 200 up on Warrington mm-hmm. Road, 200 more in Sawgrass North, and before you know it, that road is not capable of handling emergency vehicles. Someone's going to die in that area in the summertime.
As you may know, all of the roads in Delaware are the responsibility of the state. The county really doesn't have a roads department or doesn't really have the ability to affect that situation. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is when you go home this evening, call your state representative and your state senator. Sometimes if you wait till about 11 o'clock, they'll really remember you getting that phone call, okay? And it'll have more impact. But if you'd rather wait till tomorrow, seriously, that's who can affect that situation, and that's who needs to hear about it.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But until then, you're the last wall of defense we have. If you continue to approve land usage, we're going to have this issue, and it's going to get worse. That's all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Who's next? Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Okay, anybody on the commission have any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'm thinking, commissioners, before we're going to close the public hearing, but we may want to go ahead and vote on these two, so that folks don't need to stick around to find out what we're doing. Because I would assume that we're going to defer action in order to study the testimony that's been presented. So we'll close the public hearing, and we'll entertain a motion on. Let's see. On change of zone number 1865, Francis C. Warrington III.
I make a motion that we defer making a decision on change of zone 1865 for Francis C. Warrington III for further consideration.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1865, Francis C. Warrington III, to allow the commission more time to consider the testimony presented this evening. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Change of zone, I'm sorry, conditional use number 2151, Francis C. Warrington III.
I make a motion we defer on conditional use 2151, Francis Warrington III.
Second.
So moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 2151, Francis C. Warrington III, to allow the commission more time to consider the testimony and evidence presented this evening. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what just happened is that we voted to defer action. In other words, we voted to not do anything tonight on this and to give us a couple of weeks to consider the testimony that's been presented and so on. This will appear on an agenda, probably the next agenda, and for further action, and would likely be voted on one way or the other that evening. So that's the purpose for which we did that. And with that, we'll move on to our next public hearing, which